Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth. It's a Saturday today. I usually don't come in and record shows on Saturday, but I had in my mind some goals for the week. And part of my goals were to record four new shows. Fred. So I'm in here on a Saturday. Actually, what I do is I'm rehearsing some of the things that I'll be preaching tomorrow, but in a no compromise style here on the radio. And so it just helps me ruminate. I don't think machinate is a word, but my machinations are ruminating. How about that? Oh, I was learning the other day, you know, there are freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. Freshmen, if you think of etymology, it'd be easy to think fresh. You know, they're just brand new. But then how about sophomore? What's sophomore mean? What does sophomore mean to you? If you were Fred Butler, what would it mean to you? Sophia, wisdom, wise. Moron, a wise moron, a wise fool. How could sophomores be wise fools? Well, have you ever met a sophomore? They think after 1 year of high school, or in this particular case, college, they've got it all figured out, but they're nothing more than a wise fool. Ba-dum-bum-bum. True. True. Oh, there's some other ways you could kind of think of that, I guess, if you're German or something. Praise the Lord to all my German friends. All right. We here on No Compromise Radio try to be biblical, try to be provocative, and we try to keep it in that order. I think I've gotten nicer over the years, but after all, I'm older. I'm 55, senior citizen. It's not only AARP stuff I get now, but I can go to the senior retirement homes and get in at 55. Now, my wife can't, so I have to sneak her in at night. Sneak her past the front desk. I could also go to the local pool that's in town. There are not many pools around, and they let the seniors swim on Mondays from 9 to 10 for free. So I could get those kind of underwater weights or something. To this day, when I swim, I still want to get in the pool and swim 2 miles and then drag myself out. It's getting harder to do, but why get wet if you can't swim the 2 miles? What used to take me an hour and probably 12 minutes to swim 2 miles, and now it's like an hour and a half riding the bicycle. You know, long gone are the single times I would go out. I'd go out as a, you know, by myself and ride on the flats for 20 mile an hour average over 50 miles. Those days are gonzo. But I lived through my brother and, you know, who knows, James White or somebody. James, you still listening? Email me if you are. Send in your love gift. You know, I don't ask for money here on No Compromise Radio, but I think James, I think I've had him out here to the church 4 times or so in some capacity, some way, shape, or form, taking him out to the movies. I don't think we've been on a bicycle ride. He had the opportunity but declined. Didn't want to get blown out of the water. But you know, it's about time. You know, what comes around goes around. I think we're ready for the love gift from the Alpha and Omega ministries. In the book of Hebrews, the text says that God, the Son, has made all things, that he's the radiance of the glory of God, exact imprint, character is a Greek word, of his nature, and he upholds all things, ESV, universe, by the word of his power. Oh, it is Saturday. I went and checked the email, the phone mail, and two people called. One person called. She's a listener in Dayton, Ohio, Cincinnati area, and through Worldview Weekend. And her daughter moved close by and needs a church. So it's your lucky day. Luck, as luck, fate, fortune would have it. Then the other message was, he said, my name is Marco, and I'm looking for a Bible teaching church. I called back, hi, Marco, this is Pastor Abendroth. And I teach the Bible, Bethlehem Bible Church, verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. You're personally invited to the church tomorrow at 10:15. He said, are you Baptist? I said, well, do you want me to be? No. I said, well, I believe you should believe and then be immersed in Wasser, in water. And he said, okay, good. I said, well, I'm just, 50 minutes of preaching verse by verse through Hebrews tomorrow. Jesus upholds all things. He's sovereign over everything, including evil, including the cross. He's sovereign over everything. Life-changing truths. We'd love to have you. 10:15. Personally invited. You can be my guest. And see, I'm thinking that I'm above and beyond the call of duty here. Not the secretary's job, but I'm calling back. Kind of, making sure that we put the personal touches on. I don't always do that, but I thought I'd better do that today. And then he said, what translation do you use? Oh, the dreaded. I said, well, I was reading Hebrews 1 this morning in Greek and preaching from whatever the Greek would say. Even Hebrews, it says, universe in the ESV, but it's all things. He upholds all things, Hebrews 1:3. And he goes, what about the King James Version? I said, well, you won't like this church then. And I didn't say because that mentality with the fundamentalism and everything else that goes along with it and separation, secondary degree separation, with a whole list of other things. Denim jean Bible covers. If you've got one, sorry. Sell it on eBay to some KJVer. And he said, so what Bible are you preaching from? I said, well, I personally study out of the NAS, but preaching from the ESV on Sunday mornings for the most part. But it's what the Greek text says. And he goes, well, do you know of any King James only Bible teaching churches? And I said, if I did, I wouldn't tell you because it's not good for you. I don't want you to go to there. And he goes, well, will you pray for me? I said, well, of course I'll pray for you, but I'm going to be praying that you don't get caught up in that. I said, before you go, then he said, you know what? I don't have a ride. I said, well, how about you figure out if you'd like to attend or not? And if you'd like to attend, I don't know, it's probably a half hour away. I'll get you a ride. How's that sound? Okay, he said. So let me just ask you a question. If you had to go to Japan, teach them the Bible, would you use the King James only? He said, I'd probably use a Chinese Bible. I don't think he understood Japan, China, but I'm just, And I said, yeah, that's right. And you would teach them, this is what the original says. He upholds all things. The root word is Pharaoh, and Panta upholds all things. And you'd teach them that in their own language, wouldn't you? Yes, you wouldn't teach them from the King James. So how can it be the only thing? You got to go back farther. It's a fine translation. It's a majestic translation. Lots of great stuff in it. And he said, so, okay, how about we do this? You find out if you want to attend here or not. And then you call me next week. And then my daughter called and I said, excuse me, I have to pick up my daughter's call. Have a good day. So, Lord, I want to keep my word. And, Lord, I pray for that man. I pray that you would take the veil off his eyes, that somehow it needs to be a translation, from 400 years ago, from modern with that time modern English to now, I just pray that you would have him study the person and work of Christ from the original languages in whatever translation. Yeah, but I pray that you'd keep him away from King James only mentality. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Well, back on point here, God's sovereign over all things. The Son upholds all things. And the word uphold there, according to the King James, I don't even know what the King James says on that. I don't need to know. Why? Because Jesus upholds all things. He bears, not like Atlas bears the world, but he brings it to fruition. He takes the world that he's created, and then he drives it to the end. Passively? No. Actively. Hands off? No. Hands on. Micromanagement. God the Son. And he's sovereign. We've looked over the last several weeks over everything, history, minutia, big things, small things, righteous deeds, and even sinful acts. God's sovereign over them all. And today we come to the big kahuna, and that is God's sovereign over the eternal destiny of every person, including you. God chooses the destiny of every human, and that's offensive to the natural man. That's offensive to many Christians. I have stubbed my toes on rocks before surfing, and talk about pain when your big toe is split open, wide open. Man, that hurts. I don't, for whatever reason, swear anymore out loud, but sometimes I swear in my mind. When I stub my toe on a rock, that's the times when I might just kind of swear in my mind. Now, my favorite theologian is not Jonathan Edwards, but I think he well represents the stumbling block of all stumbling blocks, and that is God's sovereign over who goes to heaven and who doesn't. Quote, "From childhood up, my mind had been full of objections against the doctrine of God's sovereignty. In choosing whom he would to eternal life and rejecting whom he pleased, leaving them eternally to perish and be everlastingly tormented in hell. It used to appear like a horrible doctrine to me, but I remember the time very well which I seemed to be convinced and fully satisfied as to this sovereignty of God and his justice in thus eternally disposing of, dealing with, men, according to his sovereign pleasure. But I could never give an account how or by what means. I was thus convinced, not in the least imagining at the time, nor a long time after, that there was an extraordinary influence of God's Spirit in it, but only that now I saw further, and my reason apprehended the justice and reasonableness of it. However, my mind rested in it, and it put an end to all those cavils and objections. And there has been a wonderful alteration in my mind in respect to the doctrine of God's sovereignty from that day to this, so that I scarce ever have found so much as the rising of an objection against it. In the most absolute sense, in God showing mercy to whom he will show mercy and hardening whom he will. God's absolute sovereignty and justice with respect to salvation and damnation is what my mind seems to rest assured of as much as of anything that I see with my eyes. At least it is so at times. The doctrine has very often appeared exceedingly pleasant, bright, and sweet. Absolute sovereignty is what I love to ascribe to God." End quote. Jonathan Edwards, Selections, page 58 and 59. Friends, when we think about God's sovereignty over his heaven, it's his heaven. God is sovereign to do whatever he pleases. And remember the state of mankind. Remember the fall. Never forget that all men and women are born rebels, deserving death and eternal punishment. Nobody deserves heaven. Nobody. Not no one, not no how. Somehow, in today's evangelical culture, many have imbibed too deeply from the lie that grace is contingent upon work or merit. That's the way we roll today. No one left in his sinfully fallen state could ever approach, let alone dwell with, a thrice holy God. Think about it. God must be sovereign over who enters heaven, since salvation is something that is done to people by God. Think about it this way. In salvation, God is the one who acts, and the person getting saved is passive. That's what we call as theologians the passivity of regeneration, the passivity of redemption. If people were sovereign over their own salvation, no one would ever be born again, because it's an utter impossibility. Why? Because slavery to sin. Thomas Arnold, quote, "The distinction between Christianity and all other systems of religion consists largely in this, that in these other religions, men are found seeking after God, while Christianity is God seeking after men. You're not saved by anything that you can do. You're not saved by anything that you can will, but you're saved by God's good pleasure. He upholds all things, including your soul." Now, these next verses are found right in your Bibles, King James Bible or ESV. Romans 9:16, "So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy." John 1:12, and don't forget verse 13, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It's God's will. James 1, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits among his creatures." James 1:17-18, "By the exercise of whose will? His will. Salvation is the sovereign choice of the king. Remember how King Ahasuerus delighted in Esther and summoned her by name? That's how God beckons people today. The only difference is that God's pleasure is in spite of the person, while Ahasuerus was delighted because of Esther's beauty. One is because of, the other's in spite of. One is grace and one isn't. This doctrine should come to no surprise to any Bible student. Why? Because God's sovereign choices is regularly repeated throughout all the Bible, throughout the entire corpus of Scripture. God chose which angels would remain holy and which ones would fall. God selected only Israel for himself, not the other nations. Jesus healed many, but he left others in their sickness. God chooses the bride for the Son. Now, I know what you're saying. I can already anticipate it. But I'm the one that personally believed. Of course you did. But you, by saying that, friend, aren't implying, are you, that your belief was the cause of your salvation? You really think you caused your salvation? Then who gets the praise? Believing is the result of, the consequence of, the fruit of God's saving act, not the origin of it. Acts 13:48 could not be more clear. "When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed." Acts 13:48. You need to put that in your mind and never erase it. Acts 13:48. Friends, people are wigging out about Arminian, Calvinist, these Calvinists. I don't really care what you call me. If you get it into your mind that God's the Savior and that the order is as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, it's over. It's over. And all your criticism of certain belief systems, and we can't listen to this person anymore because they're a Calvinist, and all this kind of nonsense. I don't care what John Calvin said. What does Acts 13:48 say? What's John 1:12-13 say? What does Romans 9 say? What does Ephesians 1:4 say? What does 1 Peter 1:3-5 say? God's sovereign over everything, including who goes to heaven. Friends, it's His heaven. I mean, who do you think you are to say you're sovereign over God's sovereignty? You say, well, I wouldn't really say it like that, and why are you raising your voice? I have no idea. I'm sitting here in this room by myself. Dying for caffeine is what I'm doing. Dying. Spurgeon. Attempts have been made to prove that these words of Acts 13:48 do not teach predestination. But these attempts so clearly do violence to language that I will not waste time in answering them. I shall not twist that text, but shall glorify the grace of God by ascribing to it every man's faith. It is not God who gives the disposition to believe. It is wrong for God to give grace. If it be right for Him to give it, is it wrong for Him to purpose to give it? Would you have Him give it by accident? End quote. Tiao! Is it wrong for God to give grace? Is it wrong for Him to purpose to give it? God's sovereign over all things. Think about it. Ephesians 2:4 gives you the motivation for God saving sinners. Because of His great love. That's the motivation. God loves people. Not because of our faith. Ephesians 2:8, it says, through faith. But that's not the motivation. That's not the cause. Through faith. It never says according to faith or because of faith. The difference is extreme. Extreme enough to turn grace into works and to lay a foundation of merit-based righteousness that would rob God of the glory due His name. Maybe you want to say this. I thought God looks down the annals of time and then foresees who would believe. That's wrong on so many levels. God learns something kind of level, like ignoring depravity and the inability of a fallen sinner to do anything kind of level. But particularly it ignores the fact that God Himself is the one who grants said faith. It would be like saying God cannot foresee the faith that He would one day grant. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. What thanks to God would be given if this choice were based on man and his contribution? Friends, you either submit to the Bible or you stand in authority over it. B.B. Warfield, it is never on the account of its formal nature as a psychic act that faith is conceived in Scripture to be saving. It is not, strictly speaking, even faith in Christ that saves, but Christ that saves through faith. The saving power resides exclusively not in the act of faith or the attitude of faith or the nature of faith, but in the object of faith. That is so right. That is so right. Friends, if you say, but that sounds Calvinistic, I don't know what to tell you, then evacuate anything negative in your mind that comes into it when you hear that word. I don't care if you call yourself a Calvinist or not. I want to know, is God sovereign over who goes to heaven and who doesn't? That's all I want to know. And in light of these verses, how can you say anything else? How can you say anything else? God upholds all things. No, except my will. Because I got free will. Well, your free will is a myth. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Enslaved to do Satan's will. Romans chapter 6. Unbelievers' will are enslaved to unrighteousness. Slaves to the world system. Slave, 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 slave. Yeah, but it's free. That's the epitome of this false notion of free will. When you think you're free, but you're a slave. Well, my name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. Now, we haven't talked about reprobation, but maybe that will be next time. Sovereign over salvation. That's what I'm writing down. Sovereign over salvation. Did you know God's sovereign over your salvation? Did you know God sovereign over your salvation? If you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven for one reason. Because it pleased the Lord to send you to heaven. Wow. To God be the glory. All glory, laud, and honor to the eternal King.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.